This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Hezril Ashraf. So we're in the second week of the MCO, and if you've come across a roadblock, then it's likely that in addition to the police, you've seen the army man them as well. And unlike the first MCO last year, they've now been granted emergency powers to arrest people who violate COVID-19 SOPs, which of course isn't part of the normal functions of our armed forces. So I thought I'd delve into where the army derives this special power from a legal standpoint as well as its implications. And since I'm no legal expert, I'm joined by Dato Joy Apukuten, partner at KH Lim & Co. to explain how it all works. Joy, it's good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Ezra. Thank you for inviting me on this show. It's a pleasure to be out on board.
Right. So before we dive into the Army's special powers under this current state of emergency, let's walk through the basics. What are the primary functions of the Army as provided for by our laws?
Even prior to Merdeka, we had the use of the armed forces. You've seen that primarily during the communist insurgents, where the armed forces were in there in place to protect country and to maintain security. So even after, we also see that after Merdeka, especially during the continued insurgents by the communists, they were really enforcing the protection of the country. And then, of course, there was the emergency that took place arising from the May 30, 1969 incident. Yes, so we have the primary functions in the army has always been there. And of course, we have also had the army being used in other in foreign maintaining safety and security in other countries, and part of the United Nations Security Force and so forth. So you always had that position being carried out by the armed forces.
So let's zoom in on the army's new powers under the emergency ordinance following the proclamation of emergency by the Yang Di Pertuan Agong last week. What sort of legal provisions enable, you know, our army and our armed forces by extension to take up special powers, right? What are these powers exactly?
Speaking in relation to the recent emergency ordinance, to be specific, we're speaking about the Emergency Essential Powers Ordinance of 2021, there is a provision that confers some powers on the armed forces, all right, to exercise such powers as the police may have under what we call the Criminal Procedure Code. So that is the only provision that is now being conferred upon the armed forces, apart from those that are prevalent in the Armed Forces Act 1972. So if you look back at the Federal Constitution under Article 150 allows the proclamation emergency. Okay, so when we look at the proclamation emergency under the provisions of the federal constitution, we look also at the headings to that Article 150, which is provided in Part 11 of the federal constitution, and that very categorically states that this part applies to special powers against subversion, organized violence, and acts and crimes prejudicial to the public and emergency powers. So you've got three articles under that that part, and that is the heading to that section as well. So when we look at that in that context, we see that the powers that when a proclamation of emergency can be granted are limited. That is, it's in grave emergency, whereby the security or the economic life of public order is threatened. Now, based on that, this new law, this new ordinance, that has been coming to place on 14th January 2021, appears to have applied that provision. Right? It appears to have applied that provision. And the impact of that law is that one of which is that it allows the armed forces to take what I call in the inverted commas civilian duties. That is the issue that has been of concern for many, especially I think many have come and raised their concerns about that and the implications of that.
Right. So we'll get to that in a bit. But you had mentioned that how the Army, our armed forces, have been granted special functions in the past. Let's talk about that precedence. What were they able to do under the emergency back in 1969, right? What could they do on a daily basis that they wouldn't otherwise?
I think recalling anything specific in terms of legislation and what the army can do. Honestly, if we go back to 1969, I vividly remember my mom was being escorted in an armored car to Kuala Lumpur GH, where she was working during that period of time. So it was I was a little young boy and I was very fascinated to see the armored car, not realizing the repercussions, the implications that were happening behind the scenes. You know? So at that time, it was a necessity. Mm. There was a security issue. There was a public disorder, and there was a necessity for the army's presence. So that was a different and totally different scenario altogether compared to what we are here today.
Right. And looking at today, then what sort of authority do military personnel now hold under this current emergency during the COVID-19 pandemic, right? What can they do that they couldn't before this?
The ordinance itself limits the powers of the army to that of the police as appearing in the criminal procedure code. Mm. Now, we've got something like 444 provisions in the criminal procedure code that mean ranging from various things to anything that deals with a criminal procedure. So some of the provisions of the code actually impacts the powers of the police. For example, the power to arrest, the power to search, seize, and enter premises, power to investigate. Those kind of extended powers which are available to the police. Now, guided by what the Emergency Ordinance of 2021 provides, it seems to appear that the police will have such similar powers as well. Mm.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if you've been running into any roadblocks yourself, Joy, but, you know, I have, and I'm sure some of our listeners have. So just to relate to it on a daily basis, right, is the authority of the Army under the Emergency Ordinance only limited to roadblocks, right? Can they only carry these functions out at roadblocks, or can they actually carry out their new roles pretty much anywhere in the country?
No, as much as you just mentioned, I've not really seen them in action, so to speak, this time around, unlike the previous MCO of last year, where I've seen them at various roadblocks. But as far as what I've seen in the past, they were just manning the roadblocks,
right,
you mentioned. I've not seen them use of power or exercise any jurisdiction or anything to that effect on any civilians. But I think their physical presence is one element, which was not prevalent in terms of their powers previously until this emergency ordinance come to play.
Yeah.
In the past, they didn't have the power over civilians in that respect. But today, with the emergency ordinance in play, such powers are conferred upon them. That is a concern, of course, because the police have a different duty under the law. Mm-hmm. Of course, they have been trained. I think the Malaysian Bar President was reported as saying that, you know, police have got a different hand training in terms of dealing with civilians, where the armed forces, I would think so, would think that they have a different approach in their course of training. So that could be an issue there. As much as issue of security is concerned, yeah, there is also another aspect that's a concern with the presence of the army. I mean, the impact it has on the economy, especially with foreign investments. I mean, how do the foreign investors view the presence of army in all localities, locations, and roadblocks and so forth? I mean, apart from the necessity of having roadblocks to curtail the movement and line of movement control order, is there a necessity for extension of power to the police, to the army?
You had touched on how the army can do more than just arrest, technically speaking. They can search, they can investigate if necessary, if there are cases related to violating COVID-19 SOPs, for instance. But are there mechanisms that provide checks and balances to what they can and cannot do under a state of emergency? I mean, who monitors or ensures that army officers don't violate their current scope?
There are some check and balances in the criminal procedure code itself. Mm. For example, I mean, you need a warrant of arrest if it's a non-seizable offense and so forth. You know, I mean, basically the seizable offenses are those which carry the death penalty of more than or more than 3 years imprisonment. So non-seizable are the others. So there are some check and balance. You need a warrant of arrest, for example, in the code itself. So there's also this warrant of, you need a warrant to enter and search and seize in certain circumstances and all that. Of course, I can't go through the entire plethora of provisions of the Act, or the Code, rather, to explain which and which they can and cannot do, or what they need a warrant for, and so forth. So there are some provisions. So if we go by the emergency ordinance of 2021, which says that they have the powers as per the police under the criminal procedure code. Equally, they will have that check and balance that is required of them under, to act in accordance with the criminal procedure code. So there's some limitations to their powers in that extent.
Right. Let's go into some concerns you brought up earlier. How necessary is it to grant the Army emergency powers at this time? Will it necessarily curb COVID-19? Here, recently, Lawyers for Liberty have themselves expressed concerns that allowing the Army to arrest civilians may lead to excessive use of force or other abuses that infringe on their civil liberties. They cited a video that, quote-unquote, depicted Army personnel abusing migrant workers, supposedly for breaching a quarantine order. That's how they described it during the MCO last year. So what are your thoughts on this and your previous concerns? Do you share the same concerns? And if so, what should be done to address this?
Let's be clear. Mm. Any excessive use of force is always a concern, whether it's by the Army or any other person in authority, and that is really a concern. I think that should be reprimanded and should take its course in the form of lodgement of police reports and let the authorities deal with it in that manner. I mean, if there is such an excessive use of force, I certainly would advocate that. It doesn't matter whether it's the Army or whether anybody... It doesn't make a difference between who conducts the excessive use of force. To my mind, the presence of the Army is not necessitated at this juncture. There is no visible threat envisaged by the federal constitution for the proclamation that affects the security of the country or the public order of the country or the economic life of the country. I mean, these are features that do not appear at this current stage. I think the concern here is that why are we giving such powers to the Army when we have the police in place?
Mm.
Yeah? I think that should be the first line of thought that should prevail among those in authority. Because the impact of the presence in the Army, yes, if there's a necessity for security and all that, I think can be well handled by the police. So, but the very presence of the Army is a concern because it gives a very negative impact to the country.
And to your question, right, of how necessary this is, I mean, are you aware of any examples of other countries granting their military special powers under an emergency, specifically during this COVID-19 pandemic? And did you see these instances as necessary as opposed to what we're facing right now?
Sadly, I'm not. I mean, apart from the recent events in the U.S., at the capital of Washington,
right.
I've not had any encounters, but there was some reports, I think way back in October 2020, the media carried some reports that quoting the Center of Civil and Political Rights, I think it's a Swiss-based NGO, that there were some 79 states across the world that imposed a state of emergency under various circumstances. I mean, during this COVID-19 period.
Right.
For example, Spain had ordered a 15-day state of emergency in the capital of Madrid and a few other cities. France imposed a public health state emergency and so forth. So, I'm assuming that these are all done in accordance with their respective laws and so forth and live for limited purposes as necessary to curtail the progression of the COVID-19 pandemic. So, yes, there have been reports of that. But to the extent of the use of army in those instances, I've not had any sight of laws in that sense that are enforcement of such laws in these countries. So one has to look at the overall picture and see whether these were necessitated by a situation in those countries that if the army were there or otherwise.
Mm. So moving forward, let's look ahead. Do you think there are measures the government should take to ensure that emergency powers granted to the army aren't excessive and don't result in the infringement of civil liberties? Do you think there's any legislation that should be enacted in the future or any additional mechanisms in addition to lodging reports to keep the army's powers in checks under these circumstances?
I think for a start, there was no necessity for them to confer such powers on the army in the first place. So if anything, that provision should not have been done at all. The second thing is that, I mean, I think there is going to be a committee, if I'm not mistaken, that was supposed to be formed an independent special committee that was to be formed under the ordinance itself.
Right. So that to advise the Prime Minister, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Mm. So that committee should also take the considerations, the concerns of allowing the army to police the country in that sense of the word, you know, in the terms of the CPC, of course. But yes, they should. They should look into it. I think what is more prevalent is the need to, of course, eradicate the pandemic. That's first essential need. We all are in that acute situation in which we need the pandemic to be dealt with efficiently. That's the primary concern. Now, how is the army going to assist in that? I'm not sure. I can't see how they can be of assistance in that. So we have a civilian police force that needs to act in the better format than the army should. So if you ask me what the authority should do, primarily I think by giving the power to the army is giving a very negative impact to the country, especially when there's no real threat to security and public order in the country.
Right. With that, Joy, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. All right.
That was Dato' Joy Apukutan, partner at KH Lim & Co. We talked about the legal provisions of granting the army emergency powers to help tackle COVID-19, as well as its implications on our civil liberties. So if you've missed any of today's conversation or previous Live and Learn episodes, do check out our podcasts on the BFM app, bfm.my, or subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Hezra Lashraf, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.